use these men and women to serve our country. But ultimately, the greatest price of freedom was the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 4. As we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, Joshua chapter number 4, and I'm going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture here. The Bible says, "And it came to pass," verse number 1, "when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man, and Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, What mean ye thee? What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Now I want you to go to verse 19. "And people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever." I want to preach this morning on this thought. Verse 21 says, "What mean these stones?" Verse 7 says that they would be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to stand in this place today with the freedom that we enjoy. And we thank you for men and women who've given their lives. But Lord, more than anything, we want to thank you for your only begotten Son who gave his life so that we can not only have life here, but that we can have eternal life in heaven. I pray, Lord, if there be one here today without Christ as Savior, that this day they would come to trust thee. And I pray for those of us that are saved that today we'd be encouraged in a greater way to live for thee. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to preach in power, with unction, in the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that the truth will be revealed in our hearts, Lord, to be stirred up to serve you in a greater way. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. If we go back to chapter number 3, we're going to see the wonderful story of the children of Israel passing over the Jordan River. It's a wonderful event. It's a great thing that took place in the lives of these Israelites. And I want you to imagine with me what it must have been, because the Bible teaches us some wonderful things about it. Can you imagine the waters overflowing? This was the time of the year where the waters would creep over top of the banks and would be flowing outside of the banks of the river. And they would be running rapidly, and they're not going to stop until the priests put their feet in the water. Now, we're not talking about just a little trickling stream. We're talking about a river that's wide and a river that's broad. And when it's overflowing its banks in this time of the harvest, when this is going, the current would be rough and the current would be strong. And no doubt it would be a fearful thing. Have you all ever seen a river that's overflowing its banks? And you've seen what it's like as it flows swiftly? You know, they won't let certain people get close to the river, and they have these white water rapid riders today that gets on there, and certain times they can't let them because the water's overflowed the banks. Well, can you imagine that God says to the children of Israel and to the priests, the only way that you're going to get across if the priests step into the water. And they have to step into the water, and when they step in the water, I'll dry up the riverbed. So they had to step out by faith, didn't they? They had to do something that they had not done before. And you can imagine what it must have been as this water's running rapidly and not going to stop. And we know that the Bible teaches us that the priests step in and the waters, the Bible says, heap up, and the people were prepared. The people that are prepared for war are ready to cross over, and they cross over on dry ground. That's a great story. I love that story. The crossing of the Red Sea. The crossing of the Jordan. But then the Lord tells Joshua in chapter number 4. He tells Joshua to place, to have 12 men, one from each of these tribes, to take a stone out of this riverbed where the priest stood firm. And to take them out and to pull these 12 stones on the out of the river and place them on the side of Gilgal. And then to place 12 stones in the bed of the river where the priest stood firm. Why is it that he said that? Verse 5 through 7, he says that the children may know. Verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know. Verse 7 says it's for a memorial unto the children of Israel. And dear friends, he was saying, you need to be reminded of what I've done for you this day. You need to be reminded of this great day in your life where you crossed over on dry ground, where there was no other way, where I had promised you a land and it looked like it was impossible for you to get to that land, but I delivered you. You need not forget the power of God. And I say in our lives today, we need to set up some things that will help us to remember the power of God and what God has done for us. We need to be reminded day after day of the things that the Lord has done. We need to read the Bible every day of our lives to be reminded of what God has done. We need to be in prayer every day of our lives as a memorial to remember all the things that the Lord has done. I want you to understand the word Gilgal simply means the reproach has been rolled away. You have to remember the children of Israel had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They had disobeyed God and they had brought a reproach upon the name of God. And as a matter of fact, if you go back and you study the Bible, there was a certain group of people that were, anybody that was 20 years of age and older, except for Joshua and Caleb, every one of them died. None of them got to go over. None of them got to go into Canaan land. None of them got to go over the Jordan because they had disobeyed the Lord. And they brought a reproach to the name of God. But the name Gilgal says the reproach has been rolled away. I want to remind you that our sin is a reproach to God. But the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is a reminder that the reproach has been rolled away. When we were saved, all of our sins were rolled over onto the Savior, and the wrath of God was rolled over to the Savior. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ nailed our sins to His cross. And that when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then, dear friends, the reproach has been rolled away. That's a wonderful story, isn't it? I'm telling you what a thrilling thing it is to know today that heaven's going to be my home and the reproach has been rolled away and I'm on my way to glory because of this. Set up these stones, Joshua, the Lord says. 12 in the river, in the riverbed where the priest stood firm, and 12 in Gilgal. Why in the river and why in Gilgal? Well, when the banks were not overflowing, when the river was not overflowing, they would see those stones in the river and they'd be reminded, here is where the priest stood firm and we crossed over on dry ground. Why in Gilgal? Because here is where they would come back after their victories and after even their defeats. Their defeats were few and their victories were many. But they would come back and this was their place of camping. This was the place where they would return after every battle and every time of discouragement. They would return to Gilgal and every time they would come back, they would see the 12 stones there and they would be reminded of what great things God had done for them. Dear friends, we need to set up some things like that, don't we? We need to be reminded of some things and we need to remember some things. But as we look at this story this morning, I want us to look at three things about this that will help us to understand what these stones are truly a memorial of. And they represent things in our lives today as well as the children of Israel then. I want you to see, first of all, that they represent dedication. They represent dedication. Chapter number 3 and verse number 4, I want you to notice what the Bible says. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. It's talking about the Ark of the Covenant that the priests will be bearing. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. And listen to this. For you have not passed this way heretofore. We think about this. The Lord said to Joshua, you've never been this way before. These people have not seen this before. There are some things that are going to happen that they may not understand. So we understand in this dedication that the people were dedicated. They were dedicated to the leadership of Joshua as he followed God. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. And we find a people that was willing to follow Joshua. Reminds me that God always places people in our lives, people of authority, people of leadership. And if we have people that's willing to follow God, then we ought to be willing to do what the Lord asks them to do. These people were dedicated. There's a reminder that they've not done this before. And I'll tell you, dear friends, we need to be reminded that people ought to be dedicated to the things of God. As a pastor follows God, the people ought to follow the pastor. As the church goes the God's way, then people ought to get involved and excited about the church and be dedicated to the things of the church and to the house of the Lord. I'm reminded that what the Bible teaches us, and may speak a little bit about it tonight in the book of Hebrews, we're reminded that the church, while it is a democracy in certain ways, it's really based upon a theocracy. That as God places a pastor in a church and the pastor follows God, then the people should follow the pastor as long as he's doctrinally right and standing for the right things. We have to understand that. That's the way it is. Can you imagine what it must have been like this day? Joshua told the priest, you got to step into the water. Joshua told the people, you got to cross over. It wasn't an easy thing. The waters were heaped up. But Joshua had dedicated himself to God and he had won favor of the people. And we see that the people were dedicated. We see that the people were willing to follow Joshua as he went through. They were willing to follow the leadership of Joshua as he followed God. And as the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God, we see that the priests were dedicated in doing what they were supposed to do. The people were dedicated and the priests were dedicated. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 3 and verse number 13. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. So the priests had to be dedicated to the Lord and to the leadership of Joshua. They had to be willing to do what it was that Joshua said because God had told Joshua. And they had to step into the water. Now how many of you today would be willing to step into a rushing, raging river? It wouldn't be easy to do. But because God said this is what you have to do, these priests were dedicated to the will of God. These stones were to represent the dedication of the people that crossed over for generations to come, of the priests that were willing to step into the water, to step into that overflowing water. And chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse number 10, I want you to notice, for the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. Verse number 3 of the same chapter, the Bible says, and command ye then, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. These priests had to step into this river, and with the water standing up on a heap, they had to stand firm. And while all these children of Israel were going across, the priests could not move. These priests were dedicated. We understand that these stones represent dedication. It represents the people that's dedicated. It represents the priests that are dedicated. But I also want you to see that it pictures a dedicated Savior. Sin was something that he had never experienced. He had never passed that way heretofore. He had never had sin in his life or even associated with sin. He was God. And he robed himself in flesh and came into this world and took upon him the form of a servant. And he took all of our sins upon him. He did not sin, but all of the sins of all the world were placed upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every sin that ever has or ever shall be committed, the Lord Jesus Christ bore to the cross of Calvary. And dear friends, I want you to know that he stayed there and he stood firm until he was able to cry out, "It is finished." And he completed the job. Oh, may we be reminded day after day. May we remember day after day of all that Jesus Christ has done for us. These stones represented dedication. The cross is a reminder. And by the way, we don't worship a cross. We worship the Savior. And when we see the cross, we ought to be reminded of the Savior. I see so many people that worship crosses and worship things like that. May the Lord help us to see that that's not the way it should be. Not only do these stones represent dedication, I want you to see, secondly, these stones represent deliverance. Chapter number 3 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." Chapter 4, verse number 11, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over and the priest in the presence of the people." Now, no doubt the situation probably did not look too good. The waters were overflowing, and I'm sure that there were people concerned. But God made a way. And I want you to know God has always made a way. I love what the Bible says. It says he allowed them to pass over. And I'm reminded of the psalmist as he was writing in Psalm 40, verse number 1. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me." In other words, he leaned down to me, he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." You know what the psalmist was saying? He was saying, "He delivered me." And today, if you've been saved by the grace of God, if you've been washed in His marvelous blood, I want you to know He has delivered us. And dear friends, we're going to pass safely over to the other side. He made a way for us. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If you're going to heaven today, you're not going because you're a member of a church. You're not going because you've been baptized. You're not going because you've been a good neighbor. You're not going because you belong to a civic organization. You're not going because you've done good deeds and you've done good works. You're not going because your mom and dad are going. You're not going because your daddy started a church, or your mama gave so much money to the church, or you've done this or you've done that. You're not going for any of those reasons. If you're going to heaven today, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ has saved your soul and delivered you out of darkness and placed you into His marvelous life, has taken you out of hell and promised you a home in heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. These stones represented deliverance, and today we ought to be reminded that we've been delivered. "I cried out unto the Lord, and He heard my cry, and He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a solid rock, and He established my going." Hey, dear friend, we were sinking in the muck and the mire of the world, but the Lord Jesus Christ reached way down into the dirt and to the field and to the scum, and He picked us up, and He brought us up, and He set us up on the mire, on the solid rock. Heaven's going to be my home. Dear friends, I want you to understand today that we have been delivered through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin had a hold of us. We were condemned, but He was made to be sin for us. He who knew no sin. And He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life." That's what happens. That's what these stones represent. They represent dedication. They represent deliverance. But these stones thirdly represent a destination. Notice what the Bible says. Back in our text, chapter 3, verse 17 again. The Bible says, "And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." See, they had to pass over to go to the destination that God had for them here on earth. He had Canaan waiting on them, didn't he? He had Canaan waiting on him. Canaan, by the way, is not a picture of heaven. Canaan is a picture of victorious Christian living. You know what God was saying? I've got victory for you here in this world and in this earth. And you can have that victory. Many were walking in defeat, no doubt, this day, but then God delivered them. And I'm thinking about the day that we live in. So many are walking in defeat in this life. Sometimes because they're afraid to get their feet wet. They're afraid to step out by faith. God's given us victory in this world. He's given us the promise of victory. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory. Dear friends, we have this, and it overcomes the world. But I want you to know, just as these folks did have a destination, and these stones represented their destination, it reminded them of how God promised them a place. You remember what the Bible says that they were able to do? They were able to go to the place that God had promised Moses. He said in verse 10, "All the priests which bear the ark stood firm in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And all the people hasted and passed over." God told Moses, "You've got a land. You have a destination. It's yours. It's your land." Of course, Moses messed up. We was talking about that this morning. Moses didn't get to go, did he? He died. Remember, he disobeyed God, smote the rock twice, and the rock was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ only had to die once. And that's why God was angry with Moses, was because this rock being a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, he only needed to smite it once. He needed to hit it once. Twice was directly disobeying God because it messed up the true picture of what Christ was. And he didn't get to go over. Oh, he got to climb up the mountain and look over and see it, but he never got to go into the land of victory here. But dear friends, he got to go to heaven. There's a lot of Christians that never live in the victory that God has for us here. You're going to go to heaven, but we're walking around in the wilderness when God has Canaan land for us. God wants us to live in victory, the victorious Christian life. These stones were a reminder of their destination, of what God had promised them. But there is another destination. There is another destination. The Lord Jesus was speaking. You remember in John chapter number 13, He was there in that upper room and He was talking to His disciples. And we see as God, robed in flesh, had the feet of men in His hands, and He was washing the disciples' feet. And then after that, they would begin to talk. And He said, one of you is going to betray me. And talking about Judas. And Judas betrayed Him. But He said, one of you is going to betray me. And then another one's going to deny me, talking about Peter. And He even told Peter, you're the one that's going to deny me. He didn't mention Judas' name, but He gave evidence who it was. He said, one's going to betray me, one's going to deny me. And I'm telling you, their hearts were all broken, and they were thinking, boy, who is it that's going to do these things? Why is it that these things are going to be happening? And their hearts were troubled. And then chapter 14, which is a continuance of chapter 13, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There is a destination. And dear friends, I want you to know that while we're living in this world, He says, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So God wants us to live the abundant life. That's the victorious Christian life. You remember what the Bible says? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe, first of all, that He is. That's our salvation. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's our service. And that's the abundant life. That's the victorious life that God has for us. But dear friends, more than God has for us, the victorious life while we're living here in this world, He says, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There is another destination, and while I've not seen that destination, while I've only read about it, and I've dreamed about it, and I've thought about it, just as sure as I'm standing before you today, I'm on my way to glory land. I'm on my way to heaven, because the Lord Jesus Christ saved my old sin-sick soul and promised me that He would come after me, and He would bring me home to be with Him. I'm reminded day by day of my destination. Oh, may God help us to see that we have a home in heaven and a home in glory when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, let's never forget the destination that lies ahead, and let's live victoriously all along the way. This is what God has for us. These stones were built. Why? He said, what mean these stones, verse 22? He spake unto the, verse 21, He spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask of their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? And ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over on dry land, came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it's mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. These stones were set up for a memorial, because there were going to be children born after this that didn't go across the Jordan, but they needed to know the story. And they needed to be told again and again and again, from generation generation to generation. Dear friends, we have some things like that. Every time I see the flag of the United States of America, I believe it's a memorial of the men and women who've given their lives, who are fighting for our country, who have fought for our country, the freedom we have, freedoms that seem to be dissipating day by day, at the same time, a freedom we still enjoy. I think of the Christian flag. When my eyes behold it, I'm reminded of the Christian heritage and what our country was founded upon, what our Constitution was written by, what the Declaration of Independence was all about, as they took the Word of God and formed the laws of a nation that made us the greatest nation that the world is known. When I look at the Christian flag, I realize that it is side by side with our blessed American flag. When I think about what some people call the family Bible, and we look through those Bibles sometimes, and many of those family Bibles have family trees. You've seen those. And we're reminded of the heritage. This is a memorial where you came from, why you're here. You think about this. There are things that we have set up for a memorial. I think about in our nation's capital, in the courts, where the sign says, In God We Trust, to be a reminder that our country was built upon the principles of God's Word. Oh, it's a farce now. It's ridiculous. For they've forsaken God's Word. But dear friends, every time we see it, we ought to be reminded this is where we came from. This is why we're here. You want to know why the United States of America is here today? I'm going to tell you exactly why. It's because there were some people that said, we want to have freedom to worship God. Freedom to live. People's blood have been shed. These grounds have been saturated with the blood of men and women. Boys and girls. Wars have been fought. Lives have been given. Let's not turn our backs. Let's remember. Let's build some stones. Let's put some stones in our life. And we could go and we could start naming some stones that we know we could place. Place in our family, in our homes. Place in our lives. Place before our children. Let's not let them forget. While the government says you can't pray, and while the government says you can't read your Bible in school, let's be sure that our children know they can pray and they can read the Bible in school. Because what the government says, let me turn that around. What the education system says you can't pray, the government says you can. Do you realize you can pray anywhere you want to pray? And do you realize you can take your Bible anywhere you want to take your Bible? And do you realize that a student can witness to any other student and there's no law against that? Oh, now the principals and our superintendents, they're going to say otherwise. But we need to help them remember that the reason we still have what we have is because there were people that were willing to dare to be different. The only way we're going to make a difference in this world is by being different. And the only way we're going to be different is by setting up these memorials, reminding ourselves day by day of what we have, of where we came from, and where we're going. To remember that there's been some people that's been dedicated for our freedom. To remember that we've been delivered time and time again. And remember that there's a destination. Our country has a destination? Oh, yes. If we follow God, blessed is the nation who follows God, whose Lord is God. But if we forsake Him, and I want you to know, the hand of judgment comes. Our children have a destination. But we as believers have a destination. That's heaven. The church, our home, prayer closets, things we bring in, radio, entertaining things. We should be careful that they don't demean Christ, but that they lift Him up. This world needs to know who He is. And that way, for the generations to come, when they see these stones, when they see these things that we placed in our lives, when they see us reading our Bible day by day and moment by moment and praying and trusting God, when they see all these things, that the children may say, why do you pray? Why do you read? That you can tell them because there's a God in heaven that loves us and has given us so many wonderful things. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and thank You for all that You've done. Lord, we're reminded, as we've seen Your hand of deliverance in the lives of the children of Israel, we're reminded of how we're delivered if we've trusted Christ as our Savior. Lord, I pray for the one that's here today, that's sitting in a pew right now, and does not have the peace and the joy of knowing that heaven's going to be their home. I pray that You've worked in their hearts and their lives and You've helped them to realize how much You love them and how that You gave Your life on the cross of Calvary for them. And Lord, I pray that today they would trust Thee. I pray for those of us that are saved. Lord, maybe we've just backed down on some things. Maybe the issues we've backed down on. But Lord, help us to bring these things up for a memorial. Help us to have things set in our life, Lord, our prayer closet, our time with Thee, the things we do, the things we say, Lord, may it represent Christ in a way that's right and pleasing. Lord, that all the earth may know and that the children may know who You are and what You can do. Lord, help us to follow Thee today. Help us to trust Thee. And help us, Lord, to be sincere to this generation and to the generation to come about Your goodness and Your mercy in our lives. We'll thank You and praise You for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed,
this morning. If you're here this morning and say, preacher.